The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Good morning, everyone. This is that day in the Christian year when the church particularly focuses on the journey of the Magi. And I'm so pleased that in a rather seasonal morning you've made this journey to do exactly as the Magi did, to worship at the feet of the one born to be king. If you are a visitor amongst us, we're very pleased to welcome you and hope that you'll feel at home amongst us. Not exactly a visitor, but Dave is with us this morning after a long period of illness, and we're pleased that he's been able to join us once again in the St. Paul's family. Tea and coffee served in the large hall afterwards, and we'd be delighted to continue our fellowship there. Let's now worship God as we sing, "As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold." We don't have to go very far in Scripture to see God calling people to make journeys into the unknown. And in chapter 12 of the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, we see God breaking into the life of a man called Abram and saying to him, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for these ancient people of faith, people who lived in the knowledge of your presence with them, people who believe that despite the challenges they faced in life, your purpose for them was good and it was loving. We thank you for Abraham, the spiritual father of us all, and for the grace he was given to leave behind him everything that was familiar, everything that was comforting, and go forward into an unknown future. And we remember also these ancient men of wisdom, the Magi, who were disturbed out of the security and the comfort of their lives, and led on a journey which was in so many ways uncertain, but which was impelled by that great hunger for spiritual reality. And so we come to you today as a people who have crossed the threshold of another year, a year that remains unknown to us. But we ask, O Lord, that as in the past you were real to people of faith, and as you guided them according to your good and loving purpose, that you would envelop us in your love at this moment. Assure us of your presence and your goodness, and take us forward in the knowledge that no matter what circumstances might fall to us, if they be pleasing or painful, still we know that we are enfolded in the loving arms of our eternal Father. Establish this faith deep within our hearts. Enable us to be those witnesses you want us to be, no matter what our circumstances are. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus and ask that you be with us now as we say his prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Well, boys and girls, it's good to see you this morning. And I realise this is probably the first time that I've seen many of you since Christmas. So did you have a nice time? Uh-huh. Bad doubt there, I'm thinking, Chloe, no? Oh, you're tired. Well, well, there's quite a few of us could say that. We're a wee bit tired. But you're still enjoying your Christmas presents. That's good. Yep, it's good to know that. And I'm still enjoying mine. You know, I get the usual ones. You know, I always go on about the three B's. That's books, box sets, and Belgian chocolates. Mind you, the Belgian chocolates haven't survived, I'm afraid. But we're still enjoying the other two. But there was another present that I got that was really quite unusual. And I don't think I've ever had a present like this before. But I thought I would just tell you what it was. Now, this is a present, and it's a course in essential Italian cookery. Now, I have to go along to this place, and for 5 hours, I'm going to be taught how to cook like, sorry? It's 3 hours, is it? No, it's 4 hours. Well, I think 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll split the difference. For 4 hours, I'm going to learn how to cook like an Italian gentleman. Now, how does that sound? Now, this was Busby's present, by the way. And along with this course, he's given me a packet of pasta, you know, to help me on my way. So there you are. You know, now, I don't know what's going to happen. I'll keep you posted as to what happens. But you see, this is a gift which needs me to learn. I need to learn how to, not that I can't cook. I mean, my scrambled eggs are a byword throughout the family. But you know, I've got to go to this place, and I've got to learn how to cook, and then actually do it. You know, people will be asking me, "Don't you worry, how my lasagna's coming on?" And my minestrone soup. So, you know, I've got to learn, and then I've got to do something about it. And that struck me as being very, very similar to the gift that God gave to the whole world when he sent Jesus to be our Savior. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. And that's wonderful, and we can stand before that and just wonder at the whole nature of it. But very soon people understood that because Jesus was with them, they had to learn from him. Jesus was a great teacher, and he wanted to teach people about God, and he wanted them to live in a way that pleased God. So if you were going to be a friend of Jesus, if you accepted the gift of Jesus in your life, then you had to learn, and then you had to do. And that's what we've got to remember in the church. That's why the church is here, so that we can learn more about Jesus and learn what we need to do to make this place more like the world that God wants it to be. So it's a gift that's given to us. Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus. Now, what do you want us to do? And he says, learn more about my Son and live your life just like him. That's what the gift of Jesus means for us today. And we're going to remember now, well, we're still in the season of Christmas in a way. And what we're going to do now in our hymn is to remember that gift and how it was given to us as we sing, "Still the Night, Holy the Night." Let's sing it together.
We read together in the Word of God in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 60, and reading from verse 1. And you will find that on page 746 in the Pew Bible. Isaiah 60, and reading from verse 1. Let us hear the Word of God. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth and the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come to you, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you, the rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. And then we read together in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Amen. And may God bless his word to us.
We sing together, friends, "Bethlehem, a noble city, has been blessed beyond compare." Now let us pray. For our Father, as the people of old were sure of your presence on their journey of life, we pray that you would confirm your presence with us as we turn to your word now. And we ask that you would expand our vision of who you are and deepen our appreciation of all that has been done for us in the gift of Jesus. Amen. Friends, you might remember that in the run-up to the EU referendum, Michael Gove made a comment that caused a wee bit of a stir. He said, "People in this country have had enough of experts. People in this country have had enough of experts." Now, that seemed to me to be a strange thing to say, because everyone needs an expert now and again. I'm sure I'm not the only one here who've been grateful for the expertise of people in the fields of medicine and the law and education and engineering. We need them from time to time. And I think that that was borne in on Mr. Gove, because eventually he backtracked on that comment and he admitted that perhaps he'd been a wee bit hasty. But what he really meant was that there were people who were regarded as experts in politics, the polls, economics, social policy, and who have to realise that they're limited and that sometimes they can be wrong. Well, that's not saying very much, to be honest, because any expert that I've met in any of the fields that I've mentioned or in other areas of life have been people that have been humble enough to believe that they don't know absolutely everything. And it seems to me that that was the category into which you can place the Magi, whom we read about earlier in the service. Now, who were the Magi? Well, they were a community of scholars, probably, almost certainly, based in Babylon, quite a distance away from Israel. And they were known to be people who were knowledgeable about the science of their day. They engaged in philosophical exploration, and they were knowledgeable also about all the expressions of religious faith that existed in the ancient Near East. There were a few dodgy customers who would set themselves up as magi, as men of wisdom. But I always remember Willie Barclay's definition of the Magi. He once wrote that at their best, they were honest seekers after truth. The Magi were honest seekers after truth. Apart from that, we don't know an awful lot about them. Legend has taken over and shaped our perception of who they are and what they were like. Legend has named them, numbered them, designated the mode of transport that they took to Israel. It's all speculation. It's all imagination. But what is certain is that despite the fact that these men were experts in so many different ways, despite the fact of their great learning, these men realized that there was something missing in their lives. There was a hunger within them that wasn't satisfied by all their learning, by all their studies. And that's why they were pushed out on this journey to Israel for an encounter with this person that they believed was born the King of the Jews. And it's interesting that they came to Jerusalem. Natural place to go if you're looking for the king of Israel. It's interesting that they came to Israel with this question, trembling on their lips. And the question was, where is the one born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Where is he? Where is the one born king of the Jews? And it's a powerful thought in my mind, friends, that with all the great issues that these men were engaged with, issues around life, issues around death, issues around the purpose of the universe, despite all of this wrestling with all these issues, they recognized that at the heart of it all, there was an emptiness which didn't explain the great questions that were arising in their minds. And that's why they were now turning to the one born to be king of the Jews. And you ask yourself, well, how did they know about him? These men that lived so far away in a different culture. Well, you know, there was a significant Jewish presence in Babylon. The people of Israel had been exiled in Babylon. And even though they were away from home, they continued to worship. They had at least portions of their scriptures. It's inconceivable that men who were interested in exploring the reality of God would be unaware of these Jews and wouldn't have taken the opportunity to actually engage with whatever scriptures they had in their possessions. And as they were reading and as they were speaking to the Jewish people, they would become aware of this mysterious figure who was spoken of by the prophets. Someone who would arise out of the nation of Israel and who was called the Messiah. One whose suffering and death would somehow deal with the central problem of humankind, which was and is that we have a tendency to make a mess of things. And one who's rising again from the dead would establish God's good purpose for the whole of humankind. And so it was to get close to this one born to be king. It was to get close to him that they made this journey. We need him in our lives. Now, in many ways, we are like the Magi in that there are so many issues for us to grapple with. There are the eternal issues. Life, death, the universe. But there are these other issues that are going to affect our future in a more immediate sense, perhaps. There's been at least an oblique reference to Brexit earlier on. And we're increasingly aware of the effect of global warming on the planet. And there are the long-standing issues of poverty and injustice that we grapple with. How to cope with all of that. And these are difficult things to keep on top of. But you see, that just presses on my life the importance, the urgency of keeping close to Jesus. Because in Jesus we have this great hope, which is that no matter what we are called to go through in our lives as individuals or in our life as a church, then there is a good and a loving purpose enveloping us and taking us forward to the completion of God's plan for our lives, God's plan for the universe. That is what we are challenged to believe. And Jesus, the gift of Jesus, is the sign that all of this is true. Remember the song of the angels on that dark night in Bethlehem, when they sang glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now that's the angel saying to people of all time, you are worthy of this gift of my Son. And I see a future which will be lived according to my purpose and will give glory to my name. These are great truths that we need to impress upon our minds and our hearts this morning, friends. Where is he? This one who can make such a difference to my whole perception of life. But then there's another question with regard to the Magi. They knew about the one born to be king. What gave them that nudge to go on the journey? To get close to him? Well, they explained to anyone who would listen in Jerusalem, we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. We saw his star. Now, I've often wondered how that worked. You know, the star appears in the sky. There's a disturbance in the heavens. And somehow the Magi connect that with the birth of Jesus. And you can't really explain how that happened. We're told that there was a belief in the ancient world that when a good man, a great man was born, then that was accompanied by some disturbance in the heavens. But still, how did they connect that with Jesus? We can only try and fill that gap by saying that in some way God spoke to these men. In some way he revealed himself to these men. He established the purpose of the star and he motivated them to leave their studies and to go to the place where they would encounter the one born to be king. And I find it so exciting, friends, to realize that in that moment, these men, and we don't know how many there were really, but in that moment, they found that this impulse was not to be denied. They had to make this journey. God was reaching out to them, and God was leading them to that moment of grace when they would bow down before the one born to be king. And there is a sense in which our celebrations of Christmas mean nothing if that is not emphasized. This great truth that as we are gathered here today as a people, and as we go about our daily business, the things that need to be ticked off and done, God is eternally reaching out to us and seeking to draw us closer to himself. Love came down at Christmas, we sang. The Word became flesh and lived amongst us, says the Apostle John. And he's still living amongst us. That is the reality today. God reaching out to each individual here this morning and seeking to draw us closer to Himself. You know, there was a television program, it's a long time ago now, it was called The Long Search. And it went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it was about man's search for God. And it went through all the different religions in the world. But you know, as well as men and women like you and me searching for God, we need to realize that there is a most intensive search going on the part of God. God searching for men and women to draw them to Himself and to establish them in His purpose. That's the most urgent search that's going on. And Jesus, in His own way, puts that into story form for us. Have a look at Luke chapter 15 when you go home today and think about what Jesus is saying about God in these stories. Jesus says He's like a shepherd that goes looking for the lost sheep. He's like a woman who turns the house upside down looking for the coin that she's lost. And He's like the father who stands in the roadway day after day looking for the return of His son. Jesus says, that's God. This is our God. And how does He speak today? Well, the easy answer, how does He engage with people to draw them in as He drew the wise men in? Well, the easy answer is to say, well, we've got His word, but who is it that keeps this word before society today? It is the church. And God may still speak through stars, but His purpose is to speak through His people. Those He has gathered to Himself. It's the role of the church to bring people to faith and inspire that worship which was at the forefront of the minds of the Magi. And this was a very strong impulse within their minds. They said, where is the one born to be king of Israel? We saw His star in the east, and why have you come? Clever men, we have come to worship Him. Now, they were men, they lived in a time of many gods, and kings were worshipped. The kings of many lands were worshipped, and that's led some people to say, well, you know, they were just coming to pay due respect to a king. But you know, the original Greek word that Matthew uses for worship in relation to the Magi is a word that he uses all the way through his gospel for the proper attitude that must be adopted when we are in the presence of God. So these men weren't just coming to offer a respectful nod to someone on a throne. They had come to worship. And they'd come to worship the one who was king above all other kings. And in worshipping Him, they were declaring that this being was of supreme importance in their lives. And you see, that is what worship is all about. That's what worship means. When you break down that word, it means giving expression to what is of supreme importance in our lives. And you think of these experts. these wise men coming to that point where they know that there's something missing in their lives. When they know that there's a truth concerning God, concerning humankind that they need to embrace. And that all the learning they have is not bringing them to that place where they have satisfaction in their souls. About 40 years down the line, maybe more, the Apostle Paul spoke about people who are always learning but never come to acknowledge the truth. Always learning, but never coming to the place where they acknowledge the truth about themselves, about God. And you couldn't say that about the Magi, who bowed down before this child, who on the surface was the son of two humble parents. They bowed down and worshipped him. And you know, in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, whenever this passage is read, and whenever it comes to the bit where it said that they worshipped him, the reader of the passage pauses for a considerable moment. Because this is a significant moment. Perhaps the first time when people worshipped Jesus for who he is. And those gifts that they offered show us that they had some understanding of what they were doing. Strange gifts to give to a baby. Gold. But gold is the metal that never rusts. And there seems to have been a realization that this king's reign would last forever. And incense that would speak to any ancient person about the temple and prayer and the presence of God, spiritual reality. No one has brought God as surely as this baby has brought God to the world. And perhaps strangest of all, myrrh, which was used in embalming, closely associated with death. There seems to have been a realization that there would be something about this king's death which would enable ordinary men and women like you and me to live close to God in this life and secure with this God in the life to come. Put all of this together, and what we have is the eternal God, the one who's come to save us from the worst of ourselves. Lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. And that's where we begin, friends. When we're seeking to follow Jesus more closely, to live out his eternal values in our lives, we make a start with the Magi. When we give expression to the priority in our life, to the thing that's most important, the one born to be king, who we are called to adore. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would enable us to close with our Lord Jesus, so that we might know the privilege of receiving him and following in his ways according to your great purpose. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Now let's sing together, friends, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Now let us pray. God our Father, we thank you that we are richly blessed with those amongst us whose life is to explore the great issues of life and to make our lives easier and more full. We thank you for those in the fields of medicine and the law, engineering, in education, who are seeking to face the problems that threaten to undermine our lives and to make them less than we would like. We thank you for them, but we thank you also for those whose life has been devoted to revealing to all of us that life can never be full without the presence of your Son Jesus in our lives. We praise you that you've given this role to your church. And we ask that as we make our offering today, that we would be that bright light, that rising star, which would lead people to worship your Son Jesus. We ask that this reality would become the very essence of every congregation throughout our land today, so that when people come to worship amongst your people, they will be in contact with the truth and they would feel their lives enriched as they experience your love. And we pray, Father, that you would be with all of those who inspired by your Son Jesus and filled with his Spirit, are seeking to engage with the great issues of the world today in eradicating poverty, in facing injustice, in seeking to bring peace in lands where the noise of battle is continuous. Bless them, Lord. May they be a light in the midst of the darkness. And we ask a blessing on those in our own land who are responsible for the lives of so many as they seek to govern. We pray for our Parliament in London and in Holyrood. Pray, Lord, that more and more men and women engaged in that work would become aware that this is power given to them by you. Challenge them to use it according to your will, so that our land might be the kingdom of God in our midst. And we remember, Father, those who are close to us and have found this Christmas period difficult because of dark memories that have fallen across their minds because of illness, because of strained relationships, because of bereavement. Lord, we remember that it was into the midst of a world that was characterized by all these things, that Jesus came. And we pray that he would be with all your suffering people in this moment to give them peace. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Friends, just a couple of things before we finish. Communion cards are available for elders to uplift. They're at the back of the church. And just a wee reminder that the evening service resumes tonight at 7 o'clock. Let's sing together. It came upon the midnight clear. Now may you go in peace into the unknown future, for Christ is before you. Go where he calls, and as you go, may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.